Now we're on. Good. All right. Well, thank you so much again for the cards. Be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. They were making fun of Miss Woodson a while ago about the shoes and the socks. And I went to a conference the other day, and while I was there, I took Brother Levi. Some of you know Brother Levi. He comes up here and sings and preaches for us sometimes, and from Georgia over at the same church. And when we got there, Levi had on, preachers sometimes sitting across your legs and your pants come up a little bit and socks. And Levi had some socks on he had black shoes, a blue suit, which, you know, whatever. And then he had a blue socks on with green stripes, fluorescent green stripes on the socks. And I thought, son, you're going to get us run out of this place. As soon as you put your legs up and they see that, they're going to ask us to leave. And so the whole time we were there, he kept pointing out people that had on colorful, crazy sock combinations. And I said, yeah, but they're all kids. And then one guy, an older gentleman, sat next to us, gray-haired man, sat next to us and crossed his legs. And he had a blue suit on, tan socks with big red stripes around them. And he said, see? And I thought, well, you know, I don't know what to make about that. I said, but let me tell you something. I was sitting on my platform here at the church. And I tried on some weird colored socks one time in my blue suit. And as I crossed my legs, I could feel the whole room. My legs actually started to get hot. I could feel the whole room looking at my socks. And I got up here and I came to the pulpit and I said, I'm not sure if these socks really even match. And Miss Woodson says, they don't. So that's what you didn't know. She's a church member and she's a fashion consultant for preachers. But that's what that was all about, in case you're wondering. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, and we'll try to get going here pretty quick this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and look down at verse number 14, and we'll read just a few verses here and talk about a thought that I think would help us if we'd all get a hold of it this morning. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14, let all your things be done with charity. And then he says this, look at verse number 15, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have, say this next phrase with me, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Let's try that one more time. Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And so as you say, you know the house of Stephanas, they're the people of Achaia, they're the first fruits, meaning they're the people from Corinth that when Paul went there, some of the first people that got saved, he's saying, and they have addicted themselves to ministering to other people, to the saints. And then he says this in verse 16, he says, you see them, you know who they are, and as he's writing this letter to them, this would be people that would be in their own church, and so as you know who this person is, you know them, he says, submit yourselves unto such. And to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. So the things that they were sent by the people of Corinth to Paul as he's traveling, as he's in prisons and stuff, they've supplied those needs the church had. And anything that was lacking on behalf of the church that could have been supplied to this man, they said, I'll make up the rest of it. Whatever's lacking, we see the pile that we've got here to give to him, or what we've got to give, I'll make up whatever's extra and I'll give it as well, just so he can make sure he has what he needs for the ministry there. And so that's what they said. They've supplied. In verse number 18, it says this, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. I want to talk to you this morning, just for a few minutes, about addicting yourselves to the ministry, about being addicted to the ministry. There's some things I want to point out just in the introduction here. This was a saved man. This was a saved man. He says the first fruits of Achaia. If you were to go back to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, Paul's going to talk about seeing some people saved and baptizing some of them. And he makes this statement. We talked about this last week when we preached on Sunday morning. We talked about baptism and what role baptism plays in salvation, and the fact that baptism is not essential for salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ is essential for salvation. Baptism is what comes after salvation. We talked about that last week, and we told you that Paul, the great missionary of the New Testament and wrote majority of your New Testament, Paul made the statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, down about verses 14, 15, 16, and 17, and he made this statement, I have not come to baptize. but to preach the gospel. And he said there was divisions all amongst them. Some of them were saying, I'm of Apollos, and others, I'm of Peter or Cephas, and some were, I'm of Paul. And Paul said, listen, Christ is not divided. He said, you weren't baptized in my name. And he even made this statement. He said, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you except for these few over here. And one of the names that he mentions is the household of Stephanas. And so this man and his household were early converts of the church of Corinth. And they were baptized by Paul. You say, why is that significant? Well, because some people addict themselves to the things of God but have never gotten saved. And you need to make sure that you're saved, and then you can start addicting or making habits out of the things of God. But a lot of people try to make habits out of going to church or doing rituals or doing things, and they've never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ first. So that's the important step. You can do all kinds of great things, but the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but we're saved by the mercy of Jesus Christ by putting faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. So if you're a person who says, well, I habitually do things for Jesus Christ, aren't I a lot like these people? Only if you've trusted Jesus Christ first. And so we see that about him, these people are saved. This whole household is saved. What's also interesting to me is this. It wasn't just Stephanas, but it was his whole house. His whole house. And that says something else to me. It says this, that as that leader got saved, obviously he had an influence on the rest of his household. His household would have been probably his wife, his children, his servants, anybody else that would have been part of that household, they would have gotten saved as well because dad got saved. And it points out something we talk about addicting yourself to the ministry or doing something for God, that if the leader of the home will habitually do things for God, the rest of the family will follow. It's an important rule. It's an important thing to get a hold of. And so obviously this has happened because they talked about the whole household, this house of Stephanas, that the whole house is some people that have addicted themselves. And so they followed the influence of this father. But then the thing that I think is so important here is this phrase found there in verse number 15, and that they have addicted, say the next word, themselves. They've addicted themselves. It means this. They didn't have a committee and said, all right, church at Corinth, let's gather together and let's figure out who it is that we can appoint to being a minister to other people. They didn't do that. This was not an appointment. This was not an ordination service. This was not somebody calling these people and saying, we would like for you to do this ministry. No, no. Nobody asked them to do this. This says that they did this themselves. That's important to get a hold of. These people, Stephanas and his family, decided we are going to habitually do some things for God. Nobody's expecting us to do it. Nobody's asked us to do it. Nobody's called us to do it. It's just that we feel like there's something that needs to be done and we're going to do it. I'm going to do it, my wife will do it, and my children, we will all be a part of ministering to other people. And so we see that they addicted themselves. Now this word addicted, I think this is a pretty interesting word, because we have our own idea of what the word addicted means. Because most time we look at it as a negative thing. Somebody's addicted to drugs, they're addicted to alcohol, they're addicted to gambling, they're addicted to smoking, they're addicted to pornography, they're addicted to whatever. There's an addiction that's there. And so we normally put a negative thing on the word addiction. Brother John came into my office this week and I had written these notes out and set them on my desk, and Brother John, we were talking about the RU program and some ideas, and he said something about addiction is such a bad thing in the lives of people. And it's so bad, addiction is so bad. And he made this statement, except for being addicted to God, I guess that isn't bad. And I said, you're right. And look at this. And I picked up my notes and showed it to him. And I thought, God, thank you for just confirming that that's where you want me to go this Sunday. But being addicted to God, there's nothing wrong with that. There's negative addictions, but according to this verse, it's okay to be addicted to some things. It's okay to be addicted to the things of God. It's okay to be addicted to ministering to other people. It's okay to be addicted to coming to church. It's okay to be addicted to reading your Bible. It's okay to be addicted to prayer. It's okay to be addicted to soul winning. It's okay to be addicted to serving. It's okay. Those addictions are all right. The word addiction just means this, to enthusiastically devote to a particular thing or an activity. To enthusiastically be devoted to something. We sometimes put the word dependence with it also. It's kind of like this. You cannot function normally without it. Wouldn't it be good if you could say about Victory Baptist Church, the people of Victory Baptist Church just can't function normally without their Bible reading time. The people of Victory Baptist Church just can't function normally without prayer. The people of Victory Baptist Church are going through withdrawals because they hadn't led somebody to Jesus Christ in a little while. The people of Jesus Christ are addicted to loving their brothers and sisters and serving them. Wouldn't that be an amazing thought? That's what Paul is saying to a church like this. These people have addicted themselves. Being a criminal investigator for a little bit of time, it seemed like a lot of time that I spent it working with drugs. And Brother Pat probably did the exact same thing several times. When I got saved, I had moved from being a military police officer to working at Schofield Barracks, Hawaii, working for the drug team. And we would go out, and I've always looked about like this, pretty straight-laced and clean-cut, and I've never used a drug in my life. I just whenever I was growing up, the weird people used drugs in our school. It wasn't the cool thing. Those were the weirdos, and so you didn't do that, and so I never did that. And so I was working in the Criminal Investigation Division drug team in Hawaii, and the guy that I was working for was a independent Baptist preacher. And so I would work with him, and he, obviously I've told you this testimony before, he would witness to me, and eventually I got saved. And working in the drug team, I stayed working there, and then when I went into CID, I worked here at Fort Hood in the drug team and worked in some of these areas around here helping with drugs. But I never was the type that was good at going like the undercover stuff. I didn't fit in. I didn't know what the names of drugs were. I didn't know any of the stuff about it. But I was always the guy that was kind of there in the crowd. I'd be around, and I'd be one carrying a pistol or something in case something went wrong. But I was there, and I saw a lot of stuff when it came to addictions. Saw a lot of people. Saw a lot of weird things that people that are addicted do, and you would relate to some of these. Let me tell you some things that people that are addicted do. People that are addicted, they talk to people that aren't even there. You ever seen that before? I've seen them, and they'll just be, I was in a room interviewing a lady one time, and she's just talking to somebody in the room, and there was nobody in the room but me and her. And she had a whole conversation with them. And so she was talking to people that weren't even there. Let me say this. If you were to get addicted to the things of God and to God, guess what we'd be doing? We would be talking to people that nobody else can see. We'd be talking to God about some things. And that'd be happening in our life. It's something that happens in a person that's addicted to something. Let me tell you something else I saw that was pretty interesting to me, just by way of introduction. People that were addicted to drugs had supernatural strength. You ever try to arrest somebody that was on drugs? It's almost like they're invincible. You can't arrest them. They're just got supernatural strength. Let me say something to you. If you would get addicted to the things of God, reading, praying, serving, and just loving God, guess what you would have? You would have supernatural strength in God. There's some same things that are true about this world's addictions are true about you being addicted to the things of God. Let me say something else that I noticed about addictions is this. Anything you put on the inside as an addict begins to show up on the outside. You'd watch somebody and you'd say, man, they lived a rough life. And you say, you talk to them for a little bit, you realize they've used a lot of drugs. And it starts to come in on the outside. A lot of people I had interviewed before, you'd see sores and different stuff. And it was because they had put so much of these toxic chemicals into their body and it's starting to come out on the outside. But let me say something to you this. That's on the negative side. Let me put it onto the positive side for you for a second and say this. If you would put the things of God into your life and addict yourself to those things, they will begin to show up on the outside as well. People will be able to look at you and say, there's something about that person. They're addicted to something that's showing up on the outside of them. There's joy, there's peace, there's love. All those things are in their life. I can see it in their face. I can see it in the things they say. I can see it in the things they do. Something is inside of them that's coming out of them. Let me say something else that I noticed about anybody that's ever been addicted before. Users eventually become pushers. In the addiction side of drugs, users, they use it a lot, but let me tell you what they like to do. They like to share with other people. Let me tell you something. If you would get addicted to the Lord Jesus Christ and you would get addicted to the things of God and you saw how sweet it is to learn truths from the Word of God and to speak to God regularly and to lead people to Jesus Christ, you would be the type that would say, Brother John, let me tell you about something I just stumbled into that I've become addicted to that has changed my life. It brings me such joy. It brings me such peace. It brings me so much comfort. I'd like for you to have a little bit of this. You'd begin to share something that you're addicted to. And so that's what I see about addictions. It's something that that kind of takes over your whole life and absorbs your whole life as an addicted person in the world. But let me say something. That does that for the negative, but it would also do the same thing for you in a positive light too. If you'd become addicted to the things of God. You see, this was a positive addiction. They had addicted themselves to ministering. He said in these verses here in verse number 17, he said, I was so glad at the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that was lacking on your part, they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. He got so much help from these people. These people were addicted to serving and loving and helping other people. What a great thing to be addicted to, just serving others. But let me say this, though. He made this statement there in verse number 16, and this is where I want you to see today, in verse number 16, that ye submit yourselves unto such. This is what he's telling to the people at Corinth. You know the church at Corinth. Corinth was full of problems, divisions and backbiting and fornication that was open. That was just, gross immorality that was in the church. It was actually extremely bad immorality that was in the church, open before everybody. There was one brother suing another brother and fighting amongst them. And they were doing the Lord's Supper. And some of them were showing up drunk to the Lord's Supper. And just terrible things going on in that group and in that community. But here was this shining light, this shining example, Stephanus and his household. And they would show up at these same meetings and they would do the right thing. And while these two would be bickering back and forth with each other, this one probably over in the back, probably praying and saying, God, please bless in this thing that's going on in our church. When people are showing up drunk, this might be the family in the back that was trying to just be the right example. Not looking down their nose at other people, but just trying to be a good example with all this bad stuff was going on in the church. And so he says, submit yourself and be like them. Look at their example and be like them. So you might ask this question, and I would ask it, what is it that they may have done that put them in the category, moved them from the category of being just like the rest of Corinth and being shining examples of being addicted to serving and ministering to other people? I'm going to give you what I think may be three thoughts that I think would help you addict yourself to the right things. Maybe forming some habits. I think if you can form some habits in your life and you do them long enough, they're going to become addictions in your life. Good things. That's the way it works with in the negative realm. Somebody begins to smoke something a little bit, and they're smoking, and they're smoking, and they're smoking, and they develop a habit of it. And then, after a while, that habit becomes an addiction to it. And so the same thing's true when it comes to the things of God. If you can develop a habit in something, it eventually becomes an addiction, meaning you just can't do without it. You just can't do without it. So I'm going to show you what I think maybe three things. I know this from doing a little study. It's this. When Paul came to Corinth, it would have been about 52 A.D. is the time frame he would have came to Corinth. And then when he wrote this letter, it would have been somewhere around 57 A.D. So somewhere around 5 years, over this 5 years, this man has done some things that Paul has now written and said they're addicts to the ministry. It took a little bit of time, but they have addicted themselves to the things of God. So I want to show you some things that I think they may have done over that time. Just three little things you can write down, jot them down, and begin to do in your own life that I think would help us to be addicted to the things of God. Number one, remove some things. Remove some things from your life. Maybe this is talking about moving from you having an actual addiction now, something that you have habitually in your life that you'd like to change over to be something that's addicted or habitual for God. Anybody have something like that in their life? I can raise my hand. There's many things in my own life that I'd say it's a time waster. It's something that wastes my time. It's something that's taking my time from me that would be better used in doing something good for God, something that would matter for eternity. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:16, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, time just gets away from us sometimes, and sometimes we use our time for ridiculous things, watching things or entertaining ourselves with things that really want to matter in the long run. And in that time, we could be spending that time with family. We could be husbands, could be spending that time with a wife. You could spend that time together as a family reading together or praying together or going on a walk together or just talking together. Whenever I was a kid, what we did for dinner time, when I was dating Stacy, I was over there every time I could be over there, I was over at her house. Not because I loved her house, but because I liked her and I wanted to be over there. But what we did for supper, what they did for supper I'd never seen anything like it before. When supper time came, the TV turned off. and they'd sit around in a circle around the table. And dad and mom would ask them how their day went. And this was odd to me because when supper time came at my house, the TV trays came out. We sat in front of the TV and watched a TV program until we got through eating and went and put everything up. And so no, there was no talking. It wasn't time for talking. That was time for watching TV. But you know, it was much more productive being in a room with people that used their time wisely, that use their time to do something with a family. Let me say something. You might need to, and a lot of us need to, remove some things that are killing our time and replace it with some things that would be habitually things that would matter for God. So removing some things that are time killers. Benjamin Franklin said this. He says, Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for that's the stuff life is made of. What do we squander our time on? Let me say also this, things. We may need to remove some things that are in our life that just shouldn't be in our life. If we want to make habits that are good habits, we may need to take some things out of our homes or out of our life that are actually hindering us from having a better spiritual walk with God. We may need to remove those things out of our life and out of our homes. Maybe something that's hindering our spiritual growth or our family's spiritual growth, or something we're spending a lot of money on that we really shouldn't be. Maybe we remove those things from our life. I think it was interesting when Brother Sabo gave his testimony the other day. He made this statement from Philippians 4:8. He said, in that verse it says, if there be anything that's true, meaning honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, think on these things. And he made this statement, and I remembered it, and I thought that's a very good statement. He said, if things don't fit in those categories, they don't build those categories, I've tried to remove them from my life. Because I know that all they do is hindering me from living for God. So if they're not something that matches the true and the holy and the good report and love and all those things, I've tried to remove those from my life. And that's a good thing to do. Try to get rid of some things from your life that you know are hindering you. You say, name some things. I don't have to. The Holy Spirit just named it. Whatever the Holy Spirit just said in your own heart, that's the thing that you probably need to get rid of in your life, that's the thing right there. The Holy Spirit can show you that. What is the thing that's hindering my spiritual walk and it's causing me such problems in my life? Remove it. But let me say second, because there's something that he brought up that was really good. It's this. You've got to remove those things, but secondly, you have to replace those things. If you want to develop good godly habits, you can remove some things from your life, but you better do this. You better replace that void with something good. Amen. Because if you don't replace the void, if you gathered up everything that you thought was negative in your home and all those things and you threw it out, but you did not replace it with something that's right, there's just an empty void in the house. If you took everything out of your heart and you dumped it out and you didn't replace it with things that are right, there's an empty void in the heart. You know what ends up happening in the empty voids? Something seven times worse moves into those empty voids. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus gave an example of that, about a house being swept out and got all the demons and everything swept out. And the demon came back and said, oh, what a nice clean place that I've got here. And he brought back others with him that were seven times worse than the original ones. The idea is this. It's good to remove some things that are hindering your life. It's good to remove some things that you know are hindering your kids. But you better replace it with some things that will help. And that's important that you do it. There's all kinds of things in the Bible about that. In fact, in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, in several of those places, the Bible talks about put off the old and put on the new. Amen. Because it would not be profitable to put off the old without putting on the new. It's got to be put on. It's got to be something new that replaces the old. In Ephesians 4:22, it says this, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. That's the old man who I used to be. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. This old conversation that you had that always lusts after something, these habitual addictive things in our lives, put that off. Take it out. Get it out of the house. Have a bonfire in the backyard if the burn ban's not on. Burn that stuff. Get rid of it. Whatever it is. Get it out of your house. It's a poison that's affecting you and affecting your children. Get it out. Get it out of there. But he says this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He says, put on new things. He makes these statements in all those places. He says this, did you used to lie? Did you used to lie? Yes. He says, put away lying. He says, now use your mouth for edifying to other people. He said, don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Did you used to be a cusser? Put that away. He said, now use your mouth wisely. Did you used to be somebody that would hurt with your words? Put that away. Now use your words to edify and build up others. Whatever the case may be, whatever it must have been, you just put those things away and now put the new things. You know, when we came to Christianity, all of us in here, we had lived a life in this world, most of us did. And we had developed habits and ways of dealing with this world and with things in this world. And when we became Christians, we found out very quickly the things of God are different than the things of this world. When I came to Christianity, my background was, if you did something to me, I'm going to do something back to you. I would revenge my own self. That was my way of thinking. When I came to Christianity, I found out, no, I don't revenge my own self. Jesus takes care of my problems for me. Amen. You see, there's some ways of thinking that everyone in here needs to put away that way of thinking and needs to put on the new way of thinking. Amen. You need to remove some things out of your life and replace them with the right things. I was talking to somebody the other day, and this was really good. The ladies have a Bible study, and they've been having a Bible study on Thursdays during the day. They're going to do another one in the springtime, and I think it's a blessing, and I told them I'm happy to try to promote it as much as I can. They're going to do different little activities. And I asked them, I said, what are some things y'all learned in the last one? What's something? And they said this, and again, as I'm preparing for messages and things like this come up, God confirms this is exactly what you need to hear. And this is what the person said. In the Bible study, what I learned is, and I won't give you the details, but they said, I learned that some things that I used to believe, just about life and about how to deal with things, those things were me. I brought those to the table. They were my feelings. That's what I thought. And then I realized that God had some ways of dealing with some things. And God showed me through the Bible study some other ways to do it than what I had been maybe brought up or through my experiences in life. This is what I believe. And this is what the person said to me. They said, I had to remove those ways of thinking and started to adopt the new way of thinking. And then they made this statement, which I thought was so good. And this is point number three, is this. They said, I began to put it in practice in my life. And this is so simple, but this is the truth. If you would start to go home today and make up your mind, I'm going to get rid of some things that are hindering me. And you did it. You didn't just listen to it and then go out to eat and then go home and watch the football game, but you actually did it. And you put this into practice today. And you remove some things, whether it's thinking, whether it's things that are absorbing your time, you would put them away and then you would start to replace them with right things. And then you would start to repeat those things daily. I'm telling you, over time, it would make a difference in your life if you would repeat them. So here's the points, folks, is this. Remove some things. Replace those things. And then repeat those things. And if you repeat them, I'm telling you, it would begin to do something in your life. It's creating a habit. Results only come from repeating the process, creating a routine, creating a habit. And eventually that habit will become an addiction. I've used this verse before, but I want to read it to you again. It's found in 2 Peter chapter number 1. In verse number 5 to verse number 8, he talks about add to your faith knowledge and the knowledge of virtue. I'm sorry, add to your faith virtue and the virtue knowledge and the knowledge add temperance and the temperance add patience and the patience add godliness. He's talking about your life. To patience add godliness and to godliness add brotherly kindness and to brotherly kindness add charity. He's saying in your walk in life, you need to add some things to your life and begin to develop these things in your life. But then he makes this statement in verse number 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1. For if these things be in you and abound, they continue in you. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. That's the word. To make your calling and election sure. For if these things be in you, you shall never fall. They make you strong. They make you strong. He said, give all diligence. You know what diligence means? Continue to do it. Put effort into it. Put work into it. Because as you do that, as you get saved and you have faith, and as you add faith, you add virtue, and the virtue, you add knowledge, and the knowledge, you add temperance, and then into temperance, patience, you begin to develop as a Christian, and you start to produce godliness, and as you add godliness to brotherly kindness, and then charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And as you have that in your life, and you continue in that, daily putting those things into practice, and use diligence, they make you that you're fruitful, and you start producing something in your life. Diligence. It's this. Here it is, folks. It's this. Repeat, 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 and then repeat some more. Just keep doing it until you develop routine. Keep doing things so you develop routines. Listen, it's good for me to spend my time reading and praying, and I do that. My wife reads and prayers and prays. That's good. We should do that. You know what? I'm a night person. I enjoy doing my studying at night. My wife likes to get up early in the morning and study and read. Let me tell you what I realize, though. Watch this. This is important. What I realize, what's important is for us to be a household, like Stephanus, that's addicted to the things of God. It has to be the household. It has to be together. And so what I realized is I may have to get up my morning time, go to bed a little earlier and change my habits so that I can develop habits that are connected with her. So that us together can get up early, early in the morning. And we can read together, we can pray together, and that becomes a habit together. Let me tell you something, watch this now. It's not a one-time thing. Developing an addiction, a habit, is not, well, I did it one time last week. No, no, no. It's you do it, and then guess what tomorrow you do? You do it again, and you do it again. They say if you can do something for about 30 days, it becomes a habit. And so you have to do it, and then do it, and then do it, and then do it, and then do it some more. It's repeat. It's you removing some things from your life, and you know what those things are. The Holy Spirit told you a few minutes ago. And then it's you replacing them with the right things, and then it's you repeating them daily. And if you would put that in there, guess what? Before long, people would say, hey, that church up on the hill, you know, Victory Baptist Church, The Rock, those people are addicted to serving other people. Amen. They're addicted to loving people. Those people, they don't pass a single person on the street what they don't try to give them a gospel track. And when they go without giving a gospel track over time, you watch them, they're shaking, they're going through withdrawals. They just want to love on people. And that would be the testimony. Hey, you know the Rainer family? They're addicted. They're addicted. You know the Pettit family? Those people are just addicted. Addicted to what? Addicted to loving people. Addicted to the Bible. Addicted to coming to church. And see, those things begin to be part of your life and they become an addiction in your life. Listen, commit to something. Commit to it. I'm going to do it. Tonight, today, when you leave here, I'm going to do some things. Start simple. You don't got to change your whole life tomorrow. Start simply, because if you do something too drastic and too big, then you might fail and you might quit. So start small, make some changes, small. Make some small changes. Stay consistent with it. You may have to get a buddy. You know who my buddy is? My wife. She comes in the morning and says, it's time to read the Bible. Good. And I'll say, go away for 5 more minutes. No, I'll say, good, let's do that. And we'll get up and read the Bible together and pray together. Good. And so you need to do that. If you want to develop some habits that are life-changing habits, that's what you may have to do. Get a buddy. Your life today is essentially the sum of your habits. Your life today is essentially the sum of your habits. So let me ask you this. These people had a testimony. Let me ask you, what is your testimony? If you ask somebody, what is this person known for? What are they addicted to? Would they say, if you have somebody close to you, what are they addicted to? Would they say, they're addicted to God. They're addicted to church. Every time those doors are open, those people are there. They're addicted to church. They want to hear from God's word. They want it life changing. These people are addicted to prayer. Would they say that about us? You know, if you were to ask my wife, what's he addicted to? Would she say, addicted to prayer? He's addicted to Bible reading? He's addicted to ministering to other people? He just can't get by a week without trying to love somebody? Would they say that about you? Because that's important. That's the addiction. In the midst of a church that was in turmoil, there were some people shining. Let me say this, in the midst of a community that will be in turmoil, and in a country that's in turmoil, there's some individuals that are shining that people say, those people are addicts. Oh, they're addicts? Yeah, they're addicted to loving. They're addicted to church. They're addicted to the things of God. Could people say that about us? Let's stand.